I was reflecting back with the recent graduations in college as well and in high school, and even in junior high and elementary school. I think back to my days in college. When I was in college, one of my hobbies to kind of help me to focus in on work, schoolwork, was I used to like to lift weights. And one day, I was by myself in a weight room, which is not a good thing to be. And I felt really strong that day. Some of you guys laugh. One of my favorite instruments of self-infliction was the chest press. And I decided, hey, you know what? I did really well a couple of days ago. Let me pack on the weight. Now, you guys may not know what a chest press is. A chest press is, imagine this table in front of me, a person laying on it, and they have a bar right above their eye level, and it has like a lot of weight upon it. And you're supposed to pick it off the supporting rack and lower it to your chest and push it back up. So as I packed on the weight, I thought, well, I believe in Jesus. Let me just try. So I put on as much weight as I had done before, and it was a lot. So, but in my head, I was thinking, you know, I can do this. I've done it before. I can do this. But the only problem was I was by myself, and that's when mayhem started to break out. So as I lifted up off the support, and I lowered it to my chest, I thought, this feels good. And I tried pushing it. It wouldn't go anywhere. So I'm laying there. First, it's initially a couple of seconds, then a couple of minutes. And I'm thinking, I should call for help. But there's no one else in the room. So like, who would I call out help to? I was just weighed down by an incredible amount of weight. Have you ever felt that way? For you, maybe you're not as foolish as me to go into a weight room and try lifting weights by yourself. But have you ever tried doing something that was just beyond you, something that just dragged you down, something that you couldn't get out by yourself? Maybe you made a promise that you couldn't deliver on. Maybe you volunteered to do an assignment at work, but it was just something that you've never experienced before. Whatever it was, whatever it is, it weighs you down. So this morning we're going to be looking at a passage which is actually pretty extensive, but we're going to look at four different accounts of how people were weighed down by various obstacles. And we'll be looking at the Gospel of Mark. And we'll start with the very tail end of chapter number 4, and then we'll finish up at the very end of chapter 5. So we're not going to read every verse, but we're going to look at highlights from all of these verses. So if you can, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we'll start in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you can find a Bible in front of you, underneath the seats right in front of you. Or if you are sitting next to one with a Bible, maybe you could go alongside them, and they can help you find out what God has said. And that's one of the great privileges of being a Christian, is that we get to share with people what God has said to us. And hopefully through that we'll grow together in our faith walk before the Lord. Okay, as you keep your finger there, let's come before God and pray, and then we'll dive into the passage. Dear God, we thank you so much because you are good. And we pray, Father, as we look into these passages, into this passage, and we see the things that weigh people down, whether it be a fear of danger or a disease, or even they feel that they're being demonically attacked, or even the fear of death. We pray, Father, that your spirit may just be with us, that we may see that you're bigger than any problem that we may have, and, Father, that we may walk by faith and not always by sight, that we may believe in you and what you said within your word. In your Son's name we do pray. Amen. All right. As many of you guys know, I like alliteration, so... All right, you can see a lot of D's here. Okay, I think I'm going to need some help, Caleb. I don't know if I can get this to work. Oh, I went back. Let me go back. All right. Oh, okay, here we go. All right. Okay. The first one we're going to look at is danger defeated. Danger defeated. We'll read verse number 35. It says here in verse number 35 of Mark chapter 4, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Okay. Some translations translate this as that same day. So what had happened before? There's something that significant had taken place earlier within chapter number 4. And what had Jesus been doing? He had been teaching them lessons, meaning the people about him who was listening to him, his disciples, teaching them lessons on faith. Now remember back to the back in the day when you were in school, when a teacher gave a lesson, after that person gave that lesson, what would come? The test to see if you really were listening to what the teacher was saying. And in this very same way, these disciples were going to receive a test. Now, how would these disciples do on this test? And also, for us to consider, how well would we do if we were placed in a very similar situation? So as they got into this boat, they were journeying to go to the other side of the lake. But a great storm fell upon them. As the storm fell upon them, they were worried. And something to keep in mind, many of Jesus' disciples were experienced fishermen. So they were used to being on water. But yet, they were fearful. No matter what they did, it didn't seem to help calm this fear that they had within them. Let's skip down to verse number 38. Now, we see that while they're going about doing all this activity, Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" We see that even through a fierce storm that came, Jesus was there in the midst of the storm, and he was at peace. A couple of things that the disciples could have taken away was even though their lives may have been apparently threatened by this storm, they had Jesus. And not only that, he wasn't freaking out. He wasn't going crazy. He was taking a nap. He was a model of a person who is at total peace. He was trusting in his heavenly Father that even though they were in a boat that was in jeopardy, God was still watching over him, and he could take a good nap. What else did these disciples need? They had Jesus, and he was at peace. Question for us this morning. There will be a lot of reflective questions. Have we ever felt like these disciples before? When a storm comes into our lives, we often wonder if God even cares for us, much like what these disciples stated to Jesus during that moment. We look at what is happening outside of us physically. But the question is, don't we look inside as to maybe how God is wanting us to respond spiritually? Is not God bigger than any storms that may come into our lives? Whether it may be us losing a job, whether us having relationships which are strained to even the breaking point. Could it be a health concern that we may have? We have all these physical circumstances, but where is our heart in relationship to God? And Jesus, what he did something amazing. As we read in verse number 39, he told all of the nature about him, the winds and the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then he gave the address in verse number 40 to his disciples. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" We must remember what had happened in the first 34 verses of chapter number 4. Jesus had been teaching them about believing in him and his heavenly Father. But yet, even though they had sat before him and they had learned this incredible teaching, they still lacked faith. We must remember that it is not what happens to us outwardly that is most dangerous, but what happens inwardly. The disciples didn't believe in Jesus and what he said, even though they had spent so much time with him. Their unbelief caused them to fear, and then this fear caused them to question Jesus' care for them. Do we not do the same? Do we not always believe in Jesus and his authority over the situations which may come into our lives. What do we fear? Do we fear that no one accepts us? That we can't be real with people? But yet, Jesus is the one who accepts us. And no matter what we pray to him, he hears us. Is our fear due to our lack of faith? And unfortunately, as we look upon my life, and I believe as we look upon our own lives here, that is so true. It's because we don't believe in Jesus totally. We don't take his word to heart completely. And that is why we become so defeated by dangers that we perceive around us. But what Jesus did in this passage was that he defeated danger. But not only that, we see in the beginning of chapter number 5 that demons were defeated as well. They went across the lake, it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 5, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And we see in this passage that there was a man who was running about crazed. It says that he was filled with evil spirits. And we see that he was one person who was crazy. And if you look at a person outwardly and see that they're doing all kinds of amazingly crazy things, some people would even ponder to think that that person was cursed. And what was a sign of that person who's living a life that was cursed, that was under demonic oppression, was that they were even going to the point of cutting themselves with rocks about them. And we see that in verse number 5. It says in verse number 5 that a night and day among the tombs he was running about, and in the hills he would cry out, and he would cut himself with stones. When people do things that are strange, they are called crazy. In this case, we see the case of this man's craziness. Now, not all disease is from demonic causes. And some people may have pondered that about this person because he had this mental affliction. And we see a little bit later on, at the very end of chapter number 5, about a lady who was struggling for 12 years through a physical ailment. But not all disease is from demonic causes. When a person is harming themselves, as in this case, there is no greater joy to the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy from a person that God wants to redeem. This person was under a demonic attack. And because of that, his life was defeated. But there was one greater who had just came off of a boat who was going to deliver him from this ailment. We see as well, not only that a person who many people considered crazy and thought was cursed was going about cutting themselves, but also that the citizens in that area sought to control his behavior through chains. We see in verse number 3, that this man, he lived in the tombs, and no one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So through his demon possession, he was even strong enough to be able to break metal apart. And it was a very fearful sight. And the people in the town were scared. They just did not know what to do with him anymore. They thought if they could just control what he did, everything would be okay. But aren't we guilty of the very same thing today? A person without the power of Jesus behind them can only control the outward actions of a person. So for us, what are some ways that society tries to deal with things which we can't deal with? We lock them up. We put them in a corner of the room. We want them out of sight and out of mind. If we give them just enough medication, we try to control how a person responds to certain situations. And if we don't like the way they act, then we try to control them. And in this situation, it's through physical chains. But is that enough? In this situation, no, it is not. It only masks what is happening inside. Only Jesus can enter a person's heart and bring about life change. And that is why he does. And we see this. Christ cared by casting out. We see this in verse number 13 as we skip down. These demons, what they had done is that they had been fearful of Christ. They knew who he was. And because they knew who he was, they were begging him to not be cast out into the abyss, but instead to be cast out into a giant herd of pigs. There was about 2,000 of them. Picture all the bacon there. It was amazing. There was tons and tons of it. I've been going to a lot of breakfast recently, and there's been a lot of bacon. Okay. But my wife has been good. She's been trying to give me turkey bacon. Not quite as good, but trying to. Okay. So then these demons were crying out, cast us into those swine, into those pigs. And then Christ heeded their command. But it wasn't for their benefit. It was for the benefit of the one who was enslaved by these demons. So what Christ did was he cared for him by casting out these demons. Only Jesus has the authority to bring out the demons, not only in this person's life, but also our lives as well. Whether we're battling with things that we struggle with so often, if we're not thinking that we are attractive enough, that we are the right size to be acceptable in our sight as well as other people's sight, where does that come from? If we feel that we must be fulfilled by looking at images on a computer or on a smartphone which are just not right, where does that come from? The evil one lurks about and he wants to destroy us. And whatever it takes, he will do it. So Christ, he is more than willing to come into our lives, reach into us and rip these demons out if we would call out to him by faith, believing that he is the only one that can do this within our lives. And Christ cares for us and he's willing to cast him out. But do we want him to? Or do we feel so comfortable in the way that we're living that we're not willing to submit our lives under the authority of the one who so richly deserves to be the one overseeing our lives? Are we turning to him for healing? So we see within this passage that these demons eventually are defeated and that by the word of Christ, they have been cast out. A couple of thoughts as we look at this passage. And I welcome you guys. Look at these passages in your leisure. I'm just giving you like a really bird's eye view of them. But there's so much here. Some things that we learn about demons. We see in verse number 7 that demons know God and they fear him. It says here in verse number 7, he shouted this demon who's named Legion. A legion in the Roman army during that time could be between 2,000 to 6,000 troops. So it was a large number of demons within this one gentleman. So he shouted out at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." We see that demons know God and they fear him. But for us in this room, can we say the same? Do we know about this God who has the authority over not only the physical realm, and we saw that earlier when Jesus calmed the storm. Not only can he have power over the physical realm, but also the spiritual realm as well. Do we know that? And do we fear him? Because he is God. The second thing that we can learn about demons is that demons have limited knowledge since they didn't know what Jesus was going to do to them. And for us, we have great comfort in that, is that sometimes when spiritual forces attack us, we may think that we'll be overwhelmed. But we know how the end of the story goes. They do not. We know the one with unlimited knowledge, and we're called to trust in him. And the third thing that we learn about demons is that God, he has authority over them, because we see in verse number 12, the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." In verse number 13, he said, "Yes, you can do so." We see also within this passage that there were three requests made to Jesus as well. The first was by the demons. to not to leave the area. These demons, they did not want to leave the area of the Gerasenes. It was their area of authority. It was their area that they felt most comfortable in. And because of that, they didn't want to leave. So Jesus, what he did, he granted them their request. And then we see after what had happened, when Jesus performed this incredible miracle, the townspeople became very scared of him. It was probably due to the financial interest. They had lost so much of their wealth when these pigs ran over the cliff into the sea. So then in verse number 17, the townspeople ask him to leave. Then people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. So we see here, the demon said, "We don't want to go." The townspeople told Jesus, "Please go." And then Jesus, he supplied their request as well. And then the third request, Jesus denied. It was interesting. It says in verse number 18, the man who was healed, he was so thankful. He said, "Jesus, I want to be with you." Verse number 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. And then Jesus said no to him. Why would Jesus say yes to what demons asked for, yes to what unbelievers asked for, and then no to what a believer was asking for? It was a wild thought. But before we address that, let's take a peek back in verse number, and ponder this. Let's ponder this. Why did Jesus allow the demons to go into the pigs? He could have easily just cast them out and said, "Okay, leave this man and go into the abyss. Go to the place that you deserve. I cast you into eternal darkness." He could have easily have done that. But why did he cast him into the pigs? Did he have high cholesterol? Did he hate bacon? Why would Jesus do something like that? By casting the demons into the pigs, Jesus made an incredible demonstration of his authority that was evident to everybody. If there was one man who was just cured and was in his saneness, then the town wouldn't have really paid much attention. But what Jesus did, he made this declarative statement, "I am God." And as he exercised the authority, word spread throughout this Gentile region. If Jesus cast these demons into that abyss, not many people would have known about him. And this also answers why he had to deny the request of the believer in this case. This healed man, he needed to go back to his unbelieving family and share with them the gospel. If he would have gone onto his boat and left the town, his family would have been wondering, what happened? But instead, Jesus told this man who had a missionary heart, who wanted to tell the world about Jesus, "First, if you want to be a missionary, be a witness to your family." We need to be a testimony to those who know us the best in order for us to be a testimony to those people who know us the least. And we see within this section of this passage that the demons were defeated. Okay. And we encounter two ladies, both of them suffering from diseases. And the first one we encounter is this lady whose disease is defeated. In verse number 21 to the very end of the chapter, interwoven is an account of two people, Jairus, as well as an unnamed woman. So it's interesting. There are a lot of contrasts between these two. I bring up seven for you this morning. Now, you may have to strain your eyes a little bit, but it's a good thing. Many of you have glasses, so you have empowered vision. And if you're in the back and if you can't see all the way in front, if you turn your head, I won't be offended. There is a giant screen right behind you. It may help you if you need to be visually enhanced to bring images closer. All right. If not, you could listen to my melodious voice as I recite them to you. Okay, we see the breadth of Jesus' care for individuals. Not only does he care for certain types of people, Not only does he come for Asian folks, not only does he come from people who live in upper income suburbia of Phoenix, but he comes from everybody. He comes for everybody. And that's why I draw from this. And it blows my mind to think about it. Jesus is for everybody. We see first and foremost Jairus. He was an important person. He was a leader within the synagogue. But this woman that he's contrasted with, she was unnamed. She was a nobody. Even if we were to encounter this person in heaven one day, and we will if we place our faith in Christ this very day, we won't even know her if we met her. Because we never even know what her name is. We will know Jairus. Because, seriously, who's named Jairus? No one is. So then we would meet that person. We go, oh, I read about you right here in Mark chapter 5. He was an important person. Not only that, he wanted to keep his daughter of 12 years. While this woman, she wanted to be rid of her illness of 12 years. He wanted to keep his joy, his pride, his dear daughter, while this lady wanted to lose her sorrow, the thing that afflicted her every day that she woke up for those 12 years and every time she went to sleep those 12 years. She was slowly bleeding to death. She was slowly bleeding to death for 12 years, and it filled her heart with sorrow. This rich man named Jairus, he couldn't buy his daughter's life, while this unnamed woman lost her wealth for her health. She went to all these doctors and none of them could offer her what she was looking for. Jairus, as he went to plead with Jesus, come save my daughter, he walked with Jesus, while this unnamed woman snuck up behind, just hoping to touch his cloak and sneak away. It could have been she felt ashamed. It could have been that she could not look him in the eye. It could have been that she felt she was unworthy to be in his presence. Whatever was her motivation, she snuck up from behind and just did not want to be seen. Jairus, he led the synagogue, while this unnamed woman, she was barred from being in the synagogue because according to the Mosaic law in the Old Testament, she was unclean, and she was not acceptable in the worship hall. Jairus, he had many friends, and even one of them came running up to him, and we read in this account, and he shared the bad news that his daughter had died, while this poor woman was alone. But they had one thing in common. Both fell at the feet of Jesus. One begging for help and the other thanking him for his grace unto her life. How much faith do we need? This woman had weak faith, but it was enough. Many in the crowd touched Jesus, but only she experienced a miracle. Why? There are many in this room this morning. We come here and desiring to encounter Jesus. How come some walk away having been drawn into his presence, and some people walk away not being drawn closer to him? Could it be a question of our faith? Do we truly believe that we will meet him this very morning? This woman went up behind Jesus. She just believed, if I just touch his very clothes, I will receive healing. She had faith. Why didn't Jesus just let her slip away into the crowd? She needed more than just physical healing. She needed acceptance from her Savior, a blessing of peace and freedom from suffering. We read that in verse number 34. It goes on to say, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. She needed a relationship that only a heavenly Father can give, and hence she was called daughter. For us, a personal reflection. Many come to church just wishing to slip in and out without being noticed. Could we be like this unnamed woman who's suffering in silence? What do we need? I would hope that you desire an encounter with Jesus, a place where you would be accepted, one who would call you son, one who would call you daughter. Not only do we see that disease is defeated, but lastly, death is defeated as well. We read in verse number 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore? Why bother? We hear these words of defeat often. When we go back to that sin that plagues us so often, when we desire to make a change within our lives, people say, why bother? These words are not from Christ, but from the one who is against Christ. Notice what Christ has to say to Jairus. Don't be afraid, it says in verse number 36. Just believe. Jairus could either believe his friend or believe Jesus. When his daughter was alive, it was much easier to believe Jesus than a friend. But now that she was gone, did he still have faith? Jesus sensed the doubt and he gives assurance. And through his word, Jairus receives strength. And he believed. And for us in this room, do we receive strength from God's word? If we turn to him, I believe that we will. He goes on to say in verse number 39, "Why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." He tells us to just hope. Only hope. Our hope is when our lives end, the next time we open our eyes, we'll open them and we'll see the one that we've been longing for our whole lives upon this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. This girl just did that. This girl did just that. She closed her eyes in death, believing that there was one teacher who could save her. And when she opened them, she saw that man, Jesus Christ. And for us, in the same way, we hope for something greater after this life is over. And lastly, in verse number 41, he says to her, "Get up." And only he has the power to enable us to get up out of whatever it is that is weighing us down. We looked at four things that many people encounter within their lives. Could it be that Jesus is calling us to believe that he is greater than any danger that we face, any demons that may come to try to destroy us, any disease that we may encounter, and even to the point of death as we face it day, as we face it one day? Do we believe he is greater than that death that we face? And not only is that he greater than it, but he has defeated it as well. As I lay in that weight room, I had no one there to help me. A couple of things I learned from it. I need someone beside me. I need accountability. I need support. I also need Jesus too. So I prayed. And God gave me just enough strength for me to slide that bar and over 200 some odd pounds off of me. And as I hit the ground, I just breathed a sigh of relief. Because only he is the one who is capable to be able to lift the weight that so drags us down. I hope that you received encouragement from these four accounts that we looked at this morning. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for your people. I know, Father, that they are weighed down by so many different things. And I am not in their shoes. I don't know how much they've gone through. But I do know that you're greater than any obstacle that comes our way. And Father, even though our heart may be disturbed as danger may come about us, it doesn't matter what happens outside. It matters where our heart is on the inside in relationship with you. And even if demons come, you are greater than demons. We just need to call upon you to cast them out. And even if disease comes our way, do we believe in you that you are greater than any disease that may come into our bodies? And lastly, when death is knocking on the door, and as we close our eyes, do we have faith that as we open them up and we come out of our sleep, we will see you, our Lord and our Savior? Help us to believe in you. You tell us within your word, all we must do is believe that what you've done for us upon that cross, where you died for our sins, and everyone in this room is a sinner. And you didn't stay dead to this sin. But instead you conquered sin by coming out of the grave alive. And if only we believe in your Son, we too shall have victory over death. Help us, Father, to believe in your Son. We pray for your blessing upon your people. In your Son's name we do pray. Amen.